Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thanks for downloading, and I sure hope you enjoy the show today. Today we have part one of a two-part presentation of the origins of the Portland Trailblazers and the extraordinary promoter who made it happen. The article I'm working from was first published on February 18th of 2024 under the headline Trailblazers' Fate Hung on a Long Bathroom Break. Here we go. In the past few decades, professional soccer has made great strides in the U.S., and hockey has always had an enthusiastic cult following, but the big three are still the same as they were in 1970: baseball, football, basketball. Before 1970, Oregon was home to exactly zero major league teams from any of these sports. But after 1970, it was home to one, the Portland Trailblazers, a basketball team that took just over 5 years to build a team that would win the NBA World Championship and become an absolute legend. Both of those things, the team's inception and its rise to the top, had a lot to do with a gregarious Portland promoter and sports fan named Harry Glickman. Harry Glickman was a native son of the Beaver State, born and raised in Portland. He was Jewish and had had the unsettling experience many American Jews had of having their European relatives suddenly stop answering letters after about 1941. Later, Harry would learn that they had all been kidnapped by the Nazis and shipped to Treblinka, there, of course, to be murdered. Harry was a hardcore sports fan from early childhood and, as a high school student, played basketball at Lincoln High.
"I cannot remember a time when I was not absorbed with sports," Harry wrote in his memoir many years later. "But there is nothing in my background to indicate that someday I would be involved as a means of earning a living."
That changed in 1941, after he graduated from high school and entered the University of Oregon. He'd planned to take a year off to work and hopefully earn enough money to pay his tuition and living costs, but his mother forced his hand by marrying a Seattle man. Harry's parents had divorced when he was five. She then moved to his home in the Evergreen State. Harry's plans did not include Seattle or the University of Washington, so his plan to live at home and stack up cash for a year was thrown out the window. He'd have to find a job and work his way through college. This setback turned out to be quite possibly the luckiest break of Harry's life, before or since. Casting around for a job that fit his talents, he found one and ended up working his way through college covering Ducks sports for the Portland Morning Oregonian and the Oregon Journal and various newswire services. Glickman took time away from college to fight the Nazis from 1943 to 1946, so he didn't graduate until 48. He had a job waiting for him after graduation, and he'd made all his plans around it. It was, he thought, his dream job, staff sports reporter at the Portland Morning Oregonian. But once again, fate intervened. An Oregonian staff reporter who had been drafted to fight the war came home, a little later than most GIs. While he was gone, his job had been given to someone else. So by law, the Oregonian had to either fire that person and rehire the veteran, or find another slot on the staff for him. Nobody wanted to fire anyone, and there was only one other slot open just then, so they placed him in the position they'd opened up for Glickman. To help him out, though, Glickman's would-be boss helped him get set up as a press agent for boxing matches and other sporting events, and referred his first three clients to him.
"Most good things have happened to me by accident," Glickman wrote in his memoir at the beginning of Chapter 2,
and clearly he wasn't kidding. Of course, chance favors the prepared. And Glickman was always prepared. Over the following two decades, Glickman and his company, Oregon Sports Attractions, got involved with some very high-profile promotions. In 1951, he met some VIPs from the National Football League. This was before 1955, when broadcast television made football America's favorite national sport, but it was already very popular, and talked them into scheduling exhibition and preseason games in Portland's Multnomah Stadium. These visitor versus visitor football games would become a regular feature of the stadium's schedule throughout the 1950s. Also in the early 1950s, another nationally famous organization started making Portland a regular stop on its tours. The Harlem Globetrotters, the world-famous basketball exhibitionist team. And in the late 1950s, Glickman started working on getting a Western Hockey League team in Portland. The WHL was a minor league, but it seemed like it was going places, although it wasn't as it turned out. So Glickman founded the Portland Buckaroos in 1960. The Buckaroos would be a big part of the Portland sports scene for the next 13 years, winning 3 WHL championships along the way. But Glickman's goal was always to get a big league basketball club started in P-Town. He started working on that in 1954, after Portland voters approved a bond measure to build Memorial Coliseum, working all the angles he could get a line on with NBA executives he knew and knew of, trying to convince them that Portland was ready for a team and would support it with a butt in every stadium seat every time the whistle blew. He would doggedly chase that dream for the next 15 years, and it would finally bear fruit in 1970. It wouldn't be easy, though. Along the way, sometime in 1958, Glickman popped the question to his girlfriend, Joanne. He may or may not have been influenced to do this by a crusty old boxing promoter he was regularly working with, Jack Hurley, who was constantly needling him to
make an honest woman of her. "It's time you signed the papers," Hurley would growl. "It's every man's duty to take a gentle little creature and make her happy. Besides, you've been getting away with murder long enough."
Who says there's no romance in professional boxing? Well, that wraps up part one of this two-part presentation of the origin story of the Portland Trailblazers. Tomorrow in part two, we'll talk about the extraordinary feat that Mr. Glickman accomplished in 1970, when he pulled together the connections that would result in a brand new National Basketball Association team in Stumptown. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 700 stories originally created and published as newspaper columns in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. You can read them all at offbeatoregon.com. Other Offbeat Oregon goodies include an active Facebook page, a ton of historic photos, and a bunch more stuff, including visuals for today's show and full citations to sources, all accessible through our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and learn more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.